Hey there, SLP. You are listening to this podcast, so I know that you love to listen to podcasts. And if that is the case, then I know that you are going to love my secret private podcast, Secondary Secrets for SLPs. Its 6 short episodes will have you walking away feeling refreshed and inspired and ready to take on those challenging secondary speech students. So if you work with grades 4 through 12, and are in a planning rut or wanting some fresh new ideas to keep your students motivated, make sure you head to speechtimefun.com/secondary-secrets. You are not going to find this podcast in your iTunes podcast search browser. You can only get access by going to that link. So head to it now. It is 6 short episodes that you can listen to it in under an hour, like totally Netflix binge-worthy. I made this just for you, and I know you are going to love it. SLPs have been telling me already that it has changed their way for working with their older speech students. So head on over, again, to speechtimefun.com/secondary-secrets or use the link in the show notes, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Now let's head on to this week's episode of SLP Coffee Talk. Welcome to SLP Coffee Talk, the podcast designed exclusively for speech-language pathologists who work with older students, grades 4 through 12. I am your host, Hallie Sherman, your SLP behind Speech Time Fun, the Speech Retreat Conference, and the SLP Elevate membership. And I'm thrilled to bring you conversations, strategies, and insights that will give you the jolt of inspiration that you need. Whether you're tuning in during your morning commute, on a break in between sessions, or even during a well-deserved relaxation time, I am here for you each and every week. Let's do this, SLPs. Hey, hey, and welcome to another episode of SLP Coffee Talk. Do you struggle sometimes talking to parents and navigating the whole IEP process with parents? Well, I know then you are going to love my guest today. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk and help guide parents.
So let everyone listening know a little bit more about you and your background and what you are doing today.
Awesome. Yes. My name is Wendy Taylor. I'm the executive director of Learning Essentials, where we help families bridge learning gaps and access special education services through dyslexia reading intervention, strategic writing support, executive function, and IEP coaching. I also a certified educational therapist, Orton-Gillingham practitioner, educational diagnostician, and I host the Special Ed Strategist podcast.
That's so amazing. What have you found has been parents' biggest challenges when it comes to the IEP process that SLP should be aware of?
Yes. So I like that question. And it's interesting because we hear so much when we're sitting at an IEP table, and I've had the pleasure to sit on both sides of the IEP table as a parent and as a practitioner. And I will say, as a parent, when I first sat at that IEP table, it's super overwhelming. And I have a master's in special education. I knew the paperwork. I knew the people at the table. And I thought, this is crazy. I have the background. I have the language. And I still felt overwhelmed because as a parent, you're coming from this place of fear and love and wanting the best supports for your baby. And through that process and through the years of supporting families, there's a lot of information out there and there's a lot of misinformation. And so I always want to encourage parents to know their rights as a parent so that they can effectively advocate for their child at that IEP table. And advocacy doesn't have to be a bulldog going in, right? Because I've said this many times, that when you walk into an IEP meeting, oftentimes it feels like you walk into a party, the room is crowded, the music shuts off, and everybody's looking at you. And you feel like, okay, what's happening? So I want parents to have as much information going in so that they can feel empowered and not feel this awkward silence that it will probably happen. But at least it gives them the understand and the know-how to do that. And so I do see a lot of parents trying to get an IEP and thinking, I'm just going to submit a letter to the school the school is going to take care of it. And that's not always the case. And so first and foremost is educating the parent on what that looks like for an IEP, and then teaching them how to collect evidence on their own kiddo so that they can really have a strong case for specialized instruction, and then walking them through of what that eligibility looks like, what the evaluation looks like, and having that so that they see this picture of what's to come realistically to getting an IEP, and then continuing with that of what to do, having an IEP and how to support your kiddo.
So amazing. Yeah, so many parents, like, that's right. Like, it's up to the school. I submitted my paperwork. My job is done. And they know it could be so overwhelming when you walk into that meeting and everyone's staring at you and sitting around the table. It can be very, very overwhelming. And they're throwing jargon around. What advice would you give to SLPs when it comes to presenting the information to parents that they understand and it's not overwhelming?
Yeah, because oftentimes, right, you've done a report as an SLP and you're sitting at the table and everybody's talking to this parent. And I think first and foremost is really being honest with the parent. And a lot of times words are said and the parent then thinks, is my child ever going to, and then fill in the blank. And that can be really upsetting for a parent and overwhelming. So really just kind of having grace as you walk through that report and think about, all right, if somebody was saying this about my kiddo, my personal kiddo, how would I feel? And I do know just now, you know, thinking back when I first started as a special educator, I'm not sure how I came across, but hopefully with grace. But, you know, I'm sure as a young 20-something year old, who knows? But I think really it's just saying, all right, here are the strengths. Here's our pockets of vulnerability, but these pockets of vulnerability can look like this. This can still be a superhero need for your kiddo that we can support in X, Y, and Z. And then parents, you can do this at home so that it just doesn't seem so overwhelming or seem so scary.
So true. Viewing it as what you would want to hear if that was your child. I always tell our SLPs, don't just share the weaknesses. Also no. Share the strengths. Share personality. Like, make it personal to that individual child and that parent because it is personal to them.
And I feel like SLPs, you have a really hard time. You have a caseload beyond caseloads. I'm talking about within a public school setting. There's just a lot of students. And so the more personal, back to your point, that you can make that conversation of, here's your student. I truly see them. These are their gifts. These are their strengths. This really has worked well in our therapy settings so that not only the parent, but the rest of the team can say, okay, this is what I see working well. Can we transfer some of that to other things that we're doing either in the school building or the home?
Love that. In New York, we don't, as SLPs, run the meetings. It's a school psychologist that does that. But I know in other states, the SLPs are the ones that are organizing it, gathering the paperwork, scheduling out these meetings. Are there things that SLPs can do that you recommend to special educators, anyone, that can be doing before the meeting when they're preparing the parents and they're gathering that paperwork and sending it to them? Is there anything extra that they can be doing to help make the process go a little bit more smoothly?
I think communicate, communicate, communicate. The more you can communicate with a family, the more at ease they're going to feel and the more they're going to trust your pure intentions and supporting their student, right? So I've been in different states and you're right. Depending on the state, somebody different runs that IEP meeting. And so I think the more, even if you are an SLP, you're not running the meeting, if you can reach out to the parents, have a conversation, whether it's, you know, we just went through an evaluation. Here are my results. I'm sending home these documents ahead of time. Let me know if you have any questions. Those little things go a long way than parents showing up and saying, I'm not really sure how this is going to turn out. I'm not really sure what this person's going to say. Even though You're supposed to send those documents home. It's nice to have a conversation that goes with it, like, hey, I'm sending this home and your little one's backpack, or I just emailed that to you. Let me know if you have any questions or concerns. And then that way there's this dialogue ahead of time that, hey, do you have any questions? What does this mean on a test? So you can have that information that the parent can process so they don't feel almost blindsided during that meeting.
I love that, having the conversation. I've had many friends of mine with their children going into meetings like, what's going to happen? And I'm like, show me the reports. And I always tell them, you can always go to the summary section, the conclusion, and the way they write it, you can guarantee, I can guess what they are going to recommend. Like, how do you know? I'm like, because I write these reports.
That's right. If you're reading reports, right, if you're not, if this is either a triennial evaluation for your child and testing was done, or it's an eligibility meeting and testing was done, start with the summary. Because if you go through all of it, it becomes overwhelming. There's a lot of jargon. Start with a summary. And then if you have more than one report, start with kind of a T-chart on a piece of paper of strengths, pockets of vulnerability. And then from there, parents, once you've been able to do that, so say you have an educational assessment, a psychologist, a neuropsych, or some type of psychological cognitive assessment, SLP, maybe you have OT in there, occupational therapy, whatever, just take a sheet of paper, go right into the summary and put your strengths on one side, weaknesses or needs on the other. And then from there, parents, I would say, have what I call a sticky note party where you put the weaknesses all on different sticky notes and then prioritize them as to what you see as the biggest impact for your kiddo. And then you can take that information and turn it into your parent input statement, right? So as our law IDEA states, very forward thinking, that we are preparing students for future independence, education, and employment. And thinking about, even if your baby's in kindergarten and you're thinking that seems really far from here, but think about, where do you think you would like your kiddo to go? And then kind of start to work backwards, looking at those weaknesses. And then that way you can help advocate for your child to take those weaknesses and help turn them into goals so that you are creating this stepping stones to the direction of transition that you would like for your kiddo. And eventually your kiddo is going to be part of that conversation as they get older, and they're going to be able to articulate, this works well, this is really hard. And you can start to then build from there with that parent input statement.
Since we have a lot of listeners that work with the older population, what advice would you give to those SLPs that work with those parents when the students are now a part of the meeting?
Yeah. And it's great to have them part of the meeting. It is challenging for a student to have to sit through the entire meeting, because I think that becomes exhausting and overwhelming, and they're hearing a lot of things that maybe they're not doing well instead of front loading with things they are doing well. And so even having that one-on-one conversation as an SLP, where do you see yourself after you graduate high school? What are your interests? Where do you see what we're working on here in our sessions? How do you see that transferring to the real world? And then thinking about, how is that student taking the skills that you're doing, whether it's in a group session or one-on-one session, how are they able to transfer those skills to outside of the SLP room, whether it's in the classroom, the hallway, the playground, even outside in their community, right? So you have your home, you have your community and your school. So thinking as an SLP, where do these skills apply for community and home? Are they getting transitions there? And then asking the student so that you can start to really have a robust feel for that future independence, education, and employment.
Love it. I love it, really incorporating them. Curious your thoughts on this one, because this is a big debate. I see a lot in Facebook groups, and people ask me often, you know, how I present my findings during meetings. I'm curious what your thoughts are from what you've heard from parents. Do you prefer very thorough numbers, bell charts, or a nice brief summary and explanation of the findings and results?
I think this is great. So as both a parent that has had to sit through either of those options, and as a special educator leading those meetings and sitting through either of those options, I think leading with an eloquent summary, again, of those strengths, needs, what they do well, what they respond with well, and things to work on. Then you can always say to the parent, there's a lot more to this thick report. Do you have further questions or would you like me to go further into detail? Some parents are going to say, yes, tell me about that bell curve. Tell me what that means. Tell me what that looks like. Why is this here? And some parents are going to say, I have a great understanding. I know that we can develop some really strong IEP goals about this, and however framing or wording they're going to use. And that way a parent doesn't feel so overwhelmed. If you think about it, again, if you have several professionals reading reports, it becomes overwhelming, it becomes exhausting, and it becomes daunting to that parent to hear all of that information. So I like to start with clear cut. Here we are. This is your kiddo and a nice little, you know, picture, but I'm happy to go further with this report and discuss every little page. Parents, are you comfortable? Do you feel like you understand? Do you have further questions? That way you're putting the power onto the parent and that they feel like they are that true active member of the IEP that they have the right to be.
Love that. I totally agree. So I'm glad you said that.
Right? Some of these reports, obviously you've seen them, we've read them, you wrote them, multiple pages. And if we're doing that for the SLP, the OT, the school psychologist, the academic impact, like it just becomes overwhelming. And now you're there for a couple of hours.
I find myself like zoning out.
Yes.
My colleagues.
You're starting to think about your grocery list. What am I eating for dinner? You know, lunch, whatever it may be. So I think coming up front to the parent, explaining everything, and then say, hey, I'm available. I can do a deeper dive if you want. And a lot of times they're going to go, nope, I got the picture.
Love it. What advice do you give to parents when they're not in agreement with the findings during the meeting?
That is a great question. There's a lot of options, right? We have our educational options. I like parents to first think about their student from bell to bell, right? The law says educational impact. And there's a lot of times that there's a disagreement because a school team will say they're doing fine academically. But the law states educationally. So transitions, hallways, recess, specials, lunchroom, getting on the bus, getting off the bus, all of those things need to come in play. And I do say to parents, if there's something that a professional at that table says, oh, we don't do that here, we can't do that here, you can always politely say, I hear you. Can you show me in the law or the statute where it says that? And that way, a lot of times they say, oh, huh. And then you can look and you say, oh, wait, I don't see that in the law. Or maybe you do say it and you learn something new. Then you can always say, please put it in the prior written notice, that notice that's going to come home after the IEP meeting, so that it is in writing whether they said was approved or not approved and why. And I think by a parent saying that, it's just this little, oh, okay, they do know their rights. And if I'm writing this down as a school, I need to make sure that it is legally correct of why we are denying a service or anything that has to do with special education. Also following up with an email after the meeting to say, thank you for this productive meeting, or however you want to start the email. This is what I heard to be and why, and I look forward to seeing that documentation, the prior written notice, so that everything is documented. And then also realizing that we have a third voice at the table, right? That we have the parent side, we have the professional side, and then somewhere in the middle, we've got to come to a collaborative agreement. And so kind of there's different reasons for different agreements. And trying to understand, is this something that they won't do, something they can do, and figuring out the why, making sure it's documented. And then also understanding that under that free and appropriate education, appropriate is not really defined well. And so really understanding what that could look like and what's available to support your student.
Love that. And SLPs listening, this is great information so you know what to be prepared for in case a parent does do these things and they might ask for the law. So knowing what questions they might be asking, you can be prepared for it ahead of time. Because I always know it's easy when you know that they're going to get the service and that's what they want. It's an easy, straightforward meeting. There's not going to be much, you know, discussion. It's just like, let's share the results and let's move on. But when a parent is expecting one thing and the committee is presenting something else, it can be stressful, overwhelming, fearful. Yes,
that's right. That's right. And I think that goes back to that communication. And it's hard because you can't have a predetermination, right? So as an SLP, you can't call the parent and predetermine any type of service or non-service, but really making sure that they understand their kid and that you're hearing the parent so you can come back to the team and just say, hey, this is what the parent is thinking. So you can start to kind of have and build a conversation before it gets to a contentious point.
The more prepared we are, the more smoothly it will go.
Yes,
and everyone
not easy,
is going to be
always. But
no. Any other bit of advice that you would give to those running these meetings so that they can make sure that the parents are feeling like their voices are heard?
Encouraging the parent to do their parent input statement. Not all states require it, but it's nice to have that information again so that parents can define what that future they think will look like for their kiddo. And obviously that changes. But then you say, all right, I know this parent would like their child to go to a post-secondary college. And what can that look like? And what are we doing today to support that? And so that we're making sure parents are heard at the IEP table because they're the most consistent person. As an SLP, you may change schools. You may not be in that grade level. The child may move, whatever that may be, but that parent's going to be consistent. So really hearing what their voice is saying in terms of where they see their child and seeing what supports can we put into place that still fall under IDEA and free and appropriate education so that the parent feels heard and empowered.
Love it. And are there any specific questions that you encourage people to ask in surveys and things like that to make sure that they get all the information ahead of time?
Yeah. So again, thinking about, are the skills that they're working on transferring outside of my SLP room? Where are they transferring to? And if they're not, how can we tweak the goals? So it becomes this, I've seen so many IEPs where goals are written and you think, this is like a blanket goal. It's not really individualized. And I get it. It's really hard, being a case manager, writing those goals. It's time consuming. But then not only taking that, but just thinking, how can we break our goals down so that we are pushing a student forward, but not frustrating them so that we can continually see meaningful growth is really what we want to be able to see. And so asking that student, especially if you have older students, what's working, what's not working, what do you like to do out in the community, what's important to you? You know, if you want to be a radio DJ and that's important to you, well, then articulation is probably going to be really important to make sure that they're able to communicate on their job or, you know, if they want to. So it's just really getting to know that student and asking those transitional questions and then working backwards 5 years, working backwards 3 years, then a year so that you have this scope of where to develop our goals.
Love that. Do you have a favorite amount of goals that you like to see or have? I know my answer in the speech realm, but, you know, I'm just curious your thoughts.
Oh, I want to hear your answer. What's your answer in the speech realm?
Less is more.
Less is more.
I'd rather them be successful and let's really hone in on what we can accomplish in a year.
Yep.
Because let's be real. I typically see my students once, twice a week for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they might be absent. There might be field trips, might be assemblies. So in the however many weeks of school, how many times am I really seeing that child? So I always do two at most, maybe three if there's some extra things to go to work on. But I've received IEPs with 5 and 10 goals. And I'm like, how in the world am I supposed to do that when they're also in a group?
Yeah. And I think that's where that realistic part comes in, right? And I even say that just with setting academic goals, social emotional goals, cognitive, physical communication, wherever our goals are needed for a student, less is more. Because if we're effectively collecting data, as we should, on these IEP goals, more tends to get that effective data collection gets watered down. And you put it beautifully in terms of, you know, our related service providers, whether it's SLPs, OTs, PTs, behavior folks, or if a student's doing a reading intervention, they're only doing it for a finite amount of time. And then if you get sick, the student gets sick, we have weather delays, closures, whatever it may be, it all happens. And, you know, I've had a reading intervention person that ended up being put on the behavior team. So she wasn't even able to really do effective data collection and working with her students because she was constantly getting pulled. So having that upfront and knowing that and being realistic makes a lot of sense. So less is more so that we can really get under the hood, make sure that we're effectively working. And then for parents, that goes back to prioritizing what do we think is most important so we can make sure that those goals get put into place. And then we know that an IEP is a continuum, so that if they're cruising through the two excellent, amazing goals that you wrote, then, you know, either do an amendment, call an IEP meeting, and write a new one that makes it effective.
So, so true. What advice would you give to SLPs listening on ways they can utilize progress reports throughout the year to help communicate the progress that the students are doing with the parents?
Being honest, instead of just clicking making progress, tell me why. Tell me how are they making progress. As a parent reading that, I think, well, I've never actually seen them do that skill. How are they making progress? And I know, at least in the districts I've worked in, there's pressures coming from different sides of what and where and how you're supposed to mark and communicate. But I think being realistic, presenting data to a parent so they can say, yes, they're doing this X amount of times consistently or X amount of time with scaffolding or support, so that we can then build their capacity in the future. And so taking the time and again, having those conversations and articulating in a way of, they took this goal, this is what we worked on, this is where we started, this is where we're headed, here's the data that aligns with that. There's often times that I've either in my current role or as a case manager in a school system have read progress reports and thought, it's not really telling me where this student is in a way that I could then take that in a meaningful way to create more support or less support for that student.
What information can you provide? What can SLPs do if they want to share with their families, the parents that they work with that want more information on how to feel more prepared and get the help with the IEP meeting? Where can they go? What can they do to learn more about being an advocate for their own child?
Yes. So, well, I'm about to launch a course. This doesn't help them for current students with IEPs, but to help parents navigating, called Cracking the Code of Eligibility and Learning. I mentioned kind of earlier when we started in terms of educating, evidence, evaluation and an eligibility and walking parents through that. I purposely put it at $19 so that it's accessible, but also not even working with me directly, but again, understanding the law, understanding what resources are available and how to effectively ask for those resources, document everything. And as a parent, also keeping that communication open. Even if it's on a Sunday and you have the SLP and you have a special ed case manager and say an OT and whomever is on that kid's team, whether it's in the school the teacher, or whomever, we're outside of the building. If you need to communicate every Sunday of this is what we're doing, put everybody on that email. They'll delete it if it doesn't apply to them, or they'll reach out if it does. And then maybe it's just only monthly. That way, everybody is on the same page about what you're thinking and what's happening with your kiddo. In the long run, I really, truly think it helps the conversations at the IEP table and has everybody in the know of what's going on.
I love that. And we'll have a link to the course you can share with your families in the show notes. Thank you so much, Wendy. Where can everyone learn more about you and everything that you have to offer?
Yes, please join me over at Learning Essentials on socials. Hang out there. I do a lot of information. Also, you can follow the Special Ed Strategist podcast, where we do all things special ed. And learningessentialsedu.com is our website.
I love it. Thank you so, so much for sharing your expertise with us and everyone listening. Go check out Wendy and all the things she has to offer. Share the information with your parents. Between them getting the information they need and you being prepared for the possible questions that you might get. Thank you so, so much. Wendy, I always end my episodes with a joke because jokes do provide a lot of rapport and language-based and a lot of fun. So, why is the letter A like a flower?
Why is the letter A like a flower? Because it says ah.
Because a B comes after it.
Oh my gosh, that's way better than mine. It's like it says ow, then the sun comes up. No, because the B comes after it. Yes, that makes more sense. Whew, I love it. Terrible at jokes, clearly, but
I did not come up with it myself. It's just my corny dad jokes. But thank you so, so much, Wendy, for joining us here. And until next week, everyone, stay out of trouble.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of SLP Coffee Talk. It means the world to me that you're tuning in each and every week and getting the jolt of inspiration you need. You can find all of the links and information mentioned in this episode at my website, speechtimefun.com. Don't forget to follow the show so you don't miss any future episodes. And while you're there, it would mean the world to me if you would take a few seconds and leave me an honest review. See you next week with another episode full of fun and inspiration from one SLP to another. Have fun, guys.